2 Corinthians chapter number 5 this morning. We're going to get back into the book of Psalms next Sunday morning, and that'll be exciting. But for this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Are you thankful for the gospel this morning, church? I am too. You know, the church has a lot of different ministries to many different people today. For instance, our church, we have specialized ministries to children, to teenagers, to senior adults, parents, single moms. And all that's wonderful. It's great. Those are wonderful ministries. But what is Crossroads' main ministry? What is our main ministry? I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and look at verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or sins unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What is our main ministry, Crossroads? Here it is. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that's a great word, reconciliation. It's a wonderful word. What does it mean to reconcile something? Well, look in your handout, and I want to give you the definition. The word reconcile, it means to restore to friendship or harmony, to settle or to resolve. For instance, maybe you can associate with this. Guys, have you ever been out of sorts with your wife? Come on. How many of you have been out of sorts with your wife before? Look at that. There's only like 5 hands. You guys are lying. You're like, I'm not lifting my hand, or we're going to fight on the way home. My wife told me to keep mine down, so... No, you've been out of sorts with your wife. And you know what? It is no fun when you're out of sorts with your wife. Can I get an amen? Amen. But I tell you what, the reconciling sure is fun, though. Sometimes I think that it's worth fighting just for the fun of making up, you know? Remember when you were dating and you'd have a fight? Remember that? Remember when you were dating and you'd have a fight and your stomach is just all in knots? You know, and you're just all uptight and just a bundle of nerves, and you're so upset. And oh, it's a terrible feeling when you're dating and you have a fight or you break up. But man, how good it feels after you've reconciled. Man, oh man, it just feels good all over when you have reconciled. Did you know that the Bible teaches that mankind is out of harmony with God? And it's because of a three-letter word. Does anybody know what that three-letter word is? That's right, it's sin. In your handout, it says that sin has separated and it's alienated man from a holy God. We're out of harmony with God. I want you to look with me at Romans 3:23 on the screen here. Okay, and let's bring it up. It says on the screen, if you'll look at it with me, okay, it says, "For ye husbands have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No, that's not what it says, does it? It doesn't say you wives or you single adults or you teenagers have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the word it uses? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we are all in the same boat. That is, we are all out of harmony with God and in need of reconciliation. Here's the good news, though. God has made it possible for every single person on this earth to be reconciled and to be brought back into harmony with himself. And that is the main ministry that has been committed to us as a church. We are to share with men and women how that they as sinners can be reconciled. They can be brought back into harmony with a holy, sinless God. That's our main ministry. You say, "Pastor Dan, how can we accomplish that?" Well, on the heels of the missions conference, I thought that it would be timely for me to give you from this text what Paul teaches it's going to take if we are going to be ministers of reconciliation and fulfill our main ministry and function as a church. You know, on Wednesday nights, the last two Wednesdays, I did a thing on the mission of Crossroads. But the very first thing on the mission had to do with reconciling sinners, because the next things after that are all built on reconciling sinners. You know, if we're not reconciling sinners to God, then there's no need to do points 2, 3, and 4 of that message that I gave you. It's all built upon that very first part of our mission. The very crux, the very core, the very foundation of our mission is to be reconciling, showing the way of reconciliation to lost sinners, how they can be reconciled to God. Now, what's it going to take? Number one, it's going to take this. We must never compromise the message. We must never compromise the message. Just a hair more. What's the message that we are to share with people about how to be reconciled to God? Now, think about that. What is the message that we are to share with people about how to be reconciled to God? Well, let's look in our text. Look at verse 14. It says, for the love of who? I'm in verse 14. I have everybody look there. I saw some of you weren't looking. All right, here, ready? For the love of who?
Christ.
Christ constraineth us. Now look at the verse. It says, because we thus judge that if one died for all. Now who is that one who died for all? That's Christ, okay. And verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Who is the one who died for all and rose again? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ. Are you getting the picture of our message? Look at verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He's a new creature. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Now, how did God reconcile us to himself? Now, look in the Bible. You got to study, folks. You got to look. You got to see it. How did God reconcile us? How were we brought back into harmony with God? What are those three words after that? By Jesus Christ, he reconciled us. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was, and what's the next two words? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Look down at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors, and what's the next two words? For Christ. Are you getting the picture of our message? Look at verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on the cross, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, be reconciled to God. Are you beginning to get the picture? Somebody tell me this morning. Somebody tell me, what's our message? Jesus Christ. We are to be spreading the message of Jesus, that Christ died for all and he rose again, conquering death. In order to be reconciled to God, you must be in Christ. You say, okay, I understand, but how do I get in Christ? Look in your handout, Ephesians 1:13. I believe it's in your handout. Yeah. It says, in whom? In Christ, you also, and boy, that's a key word, I'd circle it. In Christ, he tells these Christians, you also what? There it is, trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth. So somebody told him the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you, and I think I'd circle that word too, after that you what? Believed. Notice what God did for them. The moment they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How do I get in Christ? What were the two words you circled? Trust and believe. I simply put my trust in Christ and what he did. And the moment that I put my trust in him, God gives me his Spirit and I'm in Christ. What a message that we have to share. Do you agree with me? We have a great message to share. Come on, a little bit louder. Do we have a message? Amen. We've got a message. It's the simple, but yet the profound message of Christ. No longer do you have to fear death. Isn't that great that you don't have to fear death? Well, I tell you, our hearts are very heavy this week as we had to do the funeral and the burial for a dear friend, church member, Brother Mark Skelly, usher in the 11 o'clock service on this side, 38 years old. 38 years old. 38. And Brother Mark ended up developing an infection and went into the hospital, never recovered. You say, wow, 38. Hey, can I share something with you? That could be any of us. Any of us here. But it's a wonderful thing when you don't have to fear death. It's a wonderful thing when you don't have to hope you'll go to heaven. You ever talk to somebody and say, are you sure you're going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. It is a, hey, that was me. Man, that was me. I remember hoping I would go to heaven. And that was me. I can associate with that. Man, I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And I hoped that I would go. But the idea of hoping kind of lends itself to the idea of you're not sure. It's a wonderful thing when you find out that you don't have to hope you'll go to heaven. You don't have to try and work your way to heaven. The way has already been made by Christ. Up on the screen, a man asked Paul, said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Paul and Silas said, believe, say it with me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Yeah, you see, my friend, Satan will try to get us to compromise that message. Satan loves it when churches muddle that message with religious rituals, religious requirements, religious accomplishments and achievements. But we must keep the message pure. We must keep that message unadulterated. Why? Because in your handout it says that Christ alone can save sinners and then change sinners by His grace. Only Christ can do that, my friend. What Jesus did is enough. If I have to perform a religious ritual along with trusting Christ, then that means what Christ did is not enough. If I have to perform some religious class or religious requirement, or if I've got to join a certain church, if I have to trust Christ and do that, then that means that what Christ did on the cross is not enough. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it is enough. What Christ did for you is enough. And you may be here this morning, and you may not know for sure that if you died today, you go to heaven. You may be here, and you may hope you're going to go to heaven. And I've been there. I'm glad to be able to tell you that what Jesus did on the cross for your sins is enough. You know, there are so many hurting people out there in the world today. They're struggling under a load of guilt or maybe addiction or maybe they have thoughts of suicide. Maybe they're having marriage problems. And they just need to know that there's hope. Not in religion, not in sin, not in money. There is hope in Christ. In Colossians 1:27, I'm going to bring it up here on the screen. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, now look at this, this is a key, which is what? Christ in you, and then what does He call it? The hope of glory. What is our hope? It is Christ in us. That is our hope. So we must never compromise that message. Number two, if we're going to fulfill our ministry of reconciliation, number two, secondly, we must understand the method. We must understand the method. Now, what is God's method for getting this glorious message out? Let's go back to our text. Look at verse 18. Now look in God's Word. I want you to see it. You got to see it. It's no good. Unless you see it, you got to see it. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Now look at this, follow this. And hath given to us the ministry of, say it with me. There it is. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So the work's been done, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And notice, though, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, what did he call it in verse 18? I'm telling you, you got to be alert. It's 9:30 service, but we're going to think. Amen. What did he call it in verse 18? The ministry. He said we have the ministry of reconciliation. And then he uses another word. It's really a synonym in verse 19. What does he call it? The word of reconciliation. And then what's the very first statement in verse 20? Now then, you are what? What's an ambassador? Listen, well, let me give you this statement. Okay, well, first of all, let me give you this. God has committed to who the ministry of reconciliation? Who? Us, the church, right, those who are saved. He didn't commit it to the trees, the rocks, the mountains, the ocean waves. He committed it to us. Once a person's been reconciled to God, God wants to take that person and use them to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to others. You see, the plan is this. Here's the plan, okay? God says, okay, here's Clint Proctor, my son. He's 19. Stand up, Clint. Wake up. All right, here we go. He says to Clint, all right, Clint is a sinner. Now, I know that better than anybody, all right? Clint's a sinner. Now, you all think he's perfect. I know that, you know, and you guys think Clint's great. But I know, happen to know, that Clint is a sinner. Amen. I love you. Amen. Love you, son. He's a sinner. Now, what does God want to do? Through the cross work of Christ, God takes Clint, the moment he trusts Christ, the moment his heart rests in Christ, he takes him, and let's picture this platform as being in Christ, he takes him and he places him in Christ. So now Clint's no longer in his sin. When God sees Clint, no longer does he see him in his sin, he sees him in Christ. Now, Clint is what? Clint is what? In Christ. Now, here's the plan. You ready? Now that he's in Christ, what God does, God has saved Clint. God has cleansed Clint. God has given Clint a new identity in his son. So he saves him. He puts his spirit in him. He changes Clint. And then he takes Clint after he's saved him and after he's changed him. And let's picture this here, this section that he was sitting in. This is his family, his friends, his co-workers, all these people that he rubs shoulders with. God has saved you. God has cleansed you. God has placed you in Christ. And now God says, I want to send you back out. Okay? I'm going to send you back out to all these people so that you can tell them what Christ has done for you. What is he? He is a what for Christ? There you go. Bingo. He is an ambassador. What's an ambassador? It's an authorized representative or messenger. That's us. You say, why? Because verse 16 says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, know we him no more. Is Christ on the earth in the flesh anymore? Yes or no? He's not here in the flesh. Christ ascended. He's in heaven. So if people are going to hear the life-changing message of Jesus in your handout, it says it's going to be through us. It's going to be through our verbal testimony. It's going to be through our sacrifice in giving to missionaries. It's going to be through our involvement in the mission. You see, if people are going to hear that message, it'll be through Christ's representatives, his ambassadors, you and I. In verse 15, look at it with me. Verse 15, it says, and that he, Christ, died for all, that they which live. Today, if you're in Christ, you are alive in Christ. They which live should not henceforth live unto who? Themselves. But who am I to live unto now? I'm to live unto him. I'm to live unto him which died for them and rose again. Now look at me, and I want you to get this. If you're saved today, you need to get this right in here and in here. Let it go from here to here. If you're saved today, I'm going to tell you this now very clearly. If you're saved today, you are not left on this earth to live unto yourself. You are not on an island by yourself. You're not to keep what God's done for you to yourself. Now get this. Get the principle. Once you have experienced His grace and been reconciled to God, you are not to live unto yourself. Who are you to live unto? To Jesus Christ. We are to live unto Him that died and rose again. There's only one person I know that died and rose from the dead, never to die again. And that's Jesus. So there's no doubt who that verse is talking about, is there? We are to live unto Christ, not ourselves. You say, why? Why am I to go out as an ambassador and tell people about Jesus Christ? Why am I to be involved in missions so that other people can hear? Why? I mean, I'm saved. Isn't that all that matters? You know? I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters, right? No, no, no. He says you're not to live unto yourself. You're to live unto Him that died and rose again. You know why? You know why we're to be involved in this mission? Do you know why God's committed it to us? Look at verse number 15, okay? It says, and that He died for, say the next word, all. Hey, look up here. If God can change your life, do you think He can change your neighbor? Yeah, isn't that good? If God can change you, can He change your friend at work, yes or no? Can you say, oh man, I tell you, my spouse, I can't get him to come to church with me and I can't get him to listen about Christ. My spouse, you know, is a non-believer and will never get saved. If God can change you, can He change your spouse? You see, Christ didn't just die for the people of Crossroads. He died for who? All. Which brings me to my last point. And that is, if we're going to be involved in this mission, our main ministry, we must never forget our mission field. You say, well, Pastor Dan, what's our mission field? All right, let me give you a little hint. Go to verse 14. I want you to look in that verse. Okay, I want you to look in the verse. Look at it. I want you to read it to yourself. Everybody take 5 seconds and read that verse. All right, look this way. Who did Christ die for? Good. I want everybody to take 5 seconds and read the next verse. Read verse 15. All right, look this way. Who did He die for? Look at verse 19. Read that verse. Read it closely now. Okay, look up here. When Christ hung on the cross, who was He reconciling? Good. The world. He made it possible for the world to be reconciled. Are you beginning to get the picture of our mission field? Is our mission field just Daytona Beach? You say, well, why? Because is Daytona the world? No, it's part of the world, but is it the whole world? No. So if our mission field was just Daytona Beach, we've missed out on something. Is our mission field simply Volusia County, Florida, United States? Much, much bigger. Verse 19, who was God reconciling? I want you to write that in your handout. The world is our mission field. And that's why we're here at 1851 South Clyde Morris Boulevard. Listen, folks, we are not here playing church. Our purpose and our mission In your handout, it says the main reason that we exist is to reach out to this world and to tell them of Christ's work that He has accomplished on behalf of lost sinners. That's why we're here. Paul did not say, listen folks, listen. Paul did not say that we are ambassadors to have dinners and form softball teams and have the best donut table in town. He didn't say anything about donuts. You say, Pastor Dan, are you against donuts? I love donuts. I love them. I'm not against donuts. I hope you got one this morning over at our donut table. There's nothing wrong with these things. But folks, we cannot lose sight of our goal. We cannot lose sight of our purpose for existence. And that's to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and to impact this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can have the best facilities, the most beautiful auditorium, the most dynamic choir. We can have the best music, the most active youth group. But if we fail to reach the lost, then we have failed miserably as a church. We've got to remember the main reason, you know, why He sent us out into the world. Why did He send us? It's to be ambassadors to represent Christ. I mean, listen, if my wife, sometimes she'll send me to Publix. And when she sends, you sent me yesterday for something. There was one thing. That's right. She sent me for a bag of the frozen French fries. We're going to have some of that good fish, Brother Jack, that you gave us. And she said, I want some French fries with that fish that Brother Jack caught. And so we had some of that. And so if she sends me to the store for French fries, and then I come through the door with all these bags, and I say, she's like, what in the world did you do? And I say, they had Lay's potato chips, buy one, get one free. I got four bags. And then she says, okay, great. But, you know, and then I say, I got Chips Ahoy cookies. $2 for $5. And then I say, and oh, guess what? You're not going to believe it. They had coffee beans for $5 a bag. Now, if I come home with Lay's potato chip, Chips Ahoy cookies, and coffee beans, and even if I got a good deal on all those, and I don't have French fries, is she going to be happy with me? No. I've got to remember the main reason why I went to the store to begin with. And I think that is an illustration of many churches today. They're involved in things that may be good. They're involved in things that may be beneficial. But are they involved in the main reason why they're here? Folks, this is serious business. We have a mandate from God to go into the world and to invade it with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And then your handout, it says, do you know what the great sin of the American church is? Here it is. You ready? We have lost our heart for the world. That's the great sin of the American church. We've lost our heart for the world. Too many people today in the church have a church consumer mentality. That is, what will the church do for me? Will the choir be good today? Will the preacher entertain me today? Will the youth ministry meet the needs of my teenager? Will the children's ministry entertain my kids? Will the air conditioner be comfortable today? You know, and we get into this church consumer mentality. And the result is that churches become more consumed with making themselves more comfortable than reaching out to a world in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says, we are here to reach people. We're not just here to be consumers. We're not just here to be spectators. We are here to reach people. And that's what it's all about. That's why Christ came. People, people, people. And sometimes I've heard people say, well, I just think the church is getting too big. I like a church where I know everybody. And what they're in essence saying is, we don't care about people anymore. We've reached all we want to reach. Let's just play church now. When a person says, well, I think we're giving enough to missions. We don't need to give any more. what they're in essence saying, enough people have heard, let all the other people die, and let them go into everlasting destruction. No, my friend, our mission field is the world. What is our main ministry? He said it's the ministry or the word of reconciliation. We are to be about the ministry of telling lost sinners how they can be brought back into harmony or reconciled to an eternal God, a holy God. But you know what it's going to take to fulfill this mission, this main ministry? It's going to take teamwork. And you know what it takes? It really just takes a group of people that are not self-consumed. You know, we're going to be doing a big Easter outreach, and Pastor Larry mentioned it. And you know what it's going to take to pull that off? Because it's a pretty big task we're pulling off here. We're going to endeavor to not just have an Easter egg hunt. We want to give the gospel to every single person that comes on the property. Right here in the auditorium. They're going to come in here. They're going to get a gospel presentation on a child's level. And then they're going to go outside and have fun. But they're going to get the gospel. And it's going to be a big undertaking. And you know what it takes to pull stuff like that off? You know what it takes to pull off a missions conference like we just had? It takes teamwork. It takes a group of people, listen to me, that are not self-consumed. But in your handout it says they're not self-consumed. It takes teamwork, it says in your handout. It takes a group of people that are not self-consumed, but are simply... Does anybody know what that blank would be? Yep, look at verse 14. What does verse 14 say? What's the very first phrase? What is it that compelled Paul for the what? The love of Christ constrain or compels us. In your handout, it says it takes a group of people that aren't self-consumed, but are simply in love with their Savior. Are you helping Crossroads accomplish this main ministry? Hey, let's all get on board. And let's impact Daytona Beach and the world with the gospel of Christ. We left all the missions decorations up. And you notice, if you'll look up here, please, you'll notice that right up here at the very top, what's that top word?
Reach.
Our theme this year was reach. And then you may not be able to, unless you have 20/20, you may not be able to read under that. But it says reach, and then it says beyond yourself and beyond your world. We all have our own little world, don't we? In order to fulfill our main ministry, it takes a group of people that say we're willing to reach and stretch beyond ourselves, beyond our little world, beyond our little cares, beyond our church consumer mentality. We're going to reach beyond ourselves to fulfill the mission.